Okay, Chef, we were discussing yesterday and for a few days already the difference between different obligations that, or different halachas that apply to the residents of the city. So certain obligations like taxes kick in after a person is a citizen of the city, which takes 12, a status that takes 12 months to establish. But then there are other halachas of the city, like an ir nidachas, or if a person takes a neder that he won't benefit from the residents of the city, that residency is established after 30 days. And then we talked about yesterday, there are some halachas that can be fulfilled even in being there for a moment, like, you know, you're an alien in the city, or you just happen to be in the city, like the halacha of Megillah on the 15th or the 14th is established by where you are on that very day. The difference between Yoshve Ha'ir or Yoshve Ba'ir. Are you in the city or are you a resident of the city? That's an official status that takes 30 days to establish. Or are you a citizen, which has to do with the halacha of taxes? So different halacha, different areas of halacha have different standards by which they are regulated. So the Mefarshim discuss in that context, well, how long does it take to establish residency in Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Vishavtem Bo, of settling the land of Eretz Yisrael? And of course, according to the Ramban in Chumash, in this commentary in Parashat Vayeshanan, there was a mitzvah to settle Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam notably omits any mention of a mitzvah to settle Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to discuss now whether Rambam believes there is a mitzvah of Yishuvaris. Rambam denies whether there's a mitzvah of Yishuvaris. But at least, for argument's sake, we can follow the opinion of the Ramban that there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Many assume like that in the Rambam too. Maybe it's a mitzvah kiyumis, a optional mitzvah. Maybe it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, an obligatory mitzvah. Whatever the case is, generally speaking, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. How long does it take to fulfill, to establish residency that you can fulfill that mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Is it one day? Is it 30 days? Is it 12 months? So this actually comes up in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos of all places. If you were looking for, you know, where in Or HaChaim is it discussed, or where in Shulchan Aruch is it discussed, whether it's mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz, you would not, the last place you would have looked is Hilchos Shabbos. But it appears in Hilchos Shabbos. Why? Because the Gemara says, Masech the Shabbos, and if you test the following, Ein mafligim besvina, you're not allowed to take a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos. You may have heard of this halacha. You're not allowed to take a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos. Obviously, if you'll be on the boat over Shabbos, you'll have to go on a cruise line on Thursday. That's not what we're talking about. You know, the circle line, when you go around, or, you know, those buses that turn into boats, what are they called? The duck tours. You can do that on a Thursday. We're talking about taking a boat trip that will last, like a cruise. It's going to last throughout Shabbos. So you're not allowed to go on a boat trip starting on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, 3 days prior to Shabbos. Why? Because the Baal HaMor explains Masechta Shabbos, boat travel was dangerous in the time of the Gemara, and you were inevitably going to have to violate Shabbos, Rabbi Isai. So, if you went on a boat trip Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're not obligated to think about Shabbos yet. It's not Allah al-Daito. It's not something that's part of my cheshbon. So then it's okay. You can go on a boat trip Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It doesn't look like you're violating Shabbos proactively. But if you go on a boat trip Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're already supposed to be thinking about Shabbos. You're not still recovering from the previous Shabbos. Right? You already started to be able to button your pants again on Wednesday. So if you're supposed to be thinking about the next Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to go on a boat trip where you know inevitably you're going to have to violate Shabbos for the sake of pikuach nefesh. It was dangerous in those days. You can have to violate Shabbos. You shouldn't do it when Shabbos is already on your mind on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's why many places can say if you have an elective procedure, elective surgery, you should try and schedule for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Unfortunately, it seems many surgeons who do elective surgery, it seems to me, only do surgeries at the end of the week. I'm not sure why, because maybe people like to recover over the weekend from elective surgery, like cosmetic surgery, or you know, people schedule deliveries of babies sometimes if they're overdue, so they induce. Most doctors only induce on Wednesday. I don't know why. That's the common day to do inductions. But obviously it would be better to do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but a lot of times it's just not possible. But if it is possible and it's a procedure that needs to take place, a person has a deviated septum, you know, and they can't...
They just did that.
Yeah.
I think he did it on a Monday, though.
Monday is great. A lot of times the doctors only do these surgeries on the end of the week. So, obviously that's not ideal. Better to schedule a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You can only do it at the end of the week. You know, you do what you have to. But why should you push it to the early in the week? Because a lot of times you're going to have to be machal shabbos, take care of a potential complication could arise out of surgery. And better to do it, you know, not to do that on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What if it's, though, a dvar mitzvah? So then the Gemara says, this prohibition, midrabanan, of going on a boat trip on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, is waived. See, why shouldn't you go on a boat trip Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Is it din derabanan? Because it looks like you're proactively violating Shabbos. So better not to do that. But if, let's say, it's b'makom mitzvah, chazal we're not gozer. So if you're going on a boat trip Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for a dvar mitzvah, then it is permitted. Then it is permitted. What's considered to be a dvar mitzvah? What's called a dvar mitzvah? So the Mordechai actually quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that even for Parnassah, is called a dvar mitzvah. A non-dvar mitzvah would be a pleasure cruise. You're going to Alaska to see polar bears. I don't think polar bears live in Alaska, but you're going, whatever. You're going to see whatever, I don't know, whatever lives in Alaska. So you want to take a cruise up the California coast. So, you know, that you shouldn't leave on Wednesday, even though today sea travel doesn't involve the same kind of dangers. There is no pikuach nefesh. You probably don't have this issue anymore. But, you know, at least in times of the Gemara, you shouldn't go on a pleasure cruise Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But if you're going for Parnassah, the Mordechai quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that's called Dvar Mitzvah. Other Rishonim disagree. That's not Dvar Mitzvah, Parnassah. Parnassah, why should that be Dvar Mitzvah? Dvar Mitzvah means it's a formal mitzvah. What's a Dvar Mitzvah in earning a Parnassah? I'll tell you, it's a pasuk b'furush and chumash. Sheishus yamim tavoid. Vasisa kol moachtecha, you should work for 6 days. You see, it's a mitzvah. No, obviously it's not a mitzvah to work for, say, if you're learning in kol, you don't have to violate a malacha every day because of sheishus yamim tavoid, vasisa kol moachtecha. But at least Rabbeinu Tam seems to be of the opinion it's a mitzvah to earn parnasa. So other Rishonim disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. They said, if that's the case, Rabbi said, listen to this cheshbon. If that's the case, we all know. Let's say I'm davening mincha and someone asks me for tzedakah. You have to give them tzedakah while you're davening mincha? No. Why not? Ha'isik b'mitzvah, patim in ha'mitzvah. When you're involved in one mitzvah, you're patim from another mitzvah. You're involved in a hatzorah call, you're patim from davening mincha. Ha'isik b'mitzvah, patim in ha'mitzvah. Good. So if a person is earning a parnassah as a dvar mitzvah, right, and you're allowed to take a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos, which is only permitted for dvar mitzvah, parnassah is called the dvar mitzvah, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's called by the Mordechai, then every time a guy is at his work, and someone calls, asks for tzedakah, or mincha time comes, ooh, I'm busy crunching numbers, I'm doing a deal, closing a deal, sorry, pater from, you know, the vada atzoas, pater from, you know, from dami mincha. You know, during the Second World War, people were so busy with meetings for Hatzos Nefashis that they were, sometimes they didn't even daven mincha, you know, because they were so involved in Tzarchet Tzibar. So to every guy who's at his work and, you know, whatever, you know, at his law firm, closing a deal now, I'm in court, defending my client from embezzling, I'm pater because I'm oisik v'parnasa, oisik v'mitzvah pater min mitzvah. So, Ramendel Kasher was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He actually lives on the Upper West Side. Some say he davened in the shtiepel. I don't know if that's, I can't verify that. But I've been told by the older members of the shul that the few famous people who passed through the shtiepel, one of them was Ramendel Kasher. Ramendel Kasher used to daven in the shtiepel. I don't know. So Ramendel Kasher wrote a collection of books called the Torah Shleimo. You might have seen it. It's like work on the, collects all the Midrashim on various psukim. I don't know if he finished it, but it's an enormous number of volumes. Crazy number of volumes. It's a huge set. They sell it at this farm sale. So it's one of those things that you only can buy at this farm sale, because otherwise it's just, you know, one of these things takes up 5 shelves. Now Masifta put everyone out of it. Like, you thought that was a lot of volumes. Look at this. You know, that's, you have to have a whole wall just for Masifta. But Art Scroll thought they did a lot. This was crazy. But before that was the Torah Shleima. Used to take up a lot of volumes. And it's a collection of all the Midrashim on the different Psukim. The Chumash is fantastic. Fantastic. So anyway, he also did a lot of work on the Ragged Shavar. He also was the one who originally built, not originally built, but revitalized the Manhattan Eruv in recent times, in the 50s and 60s, and when Dr. Lamb was involved. He was the one who restarted, it was a Manhattan Eruv in the turn of the century, but then Manhattan changed a lot. He was the one who established the original Manhattan Eruv, which is no longer in existence. Anyway, Reshef likes to say he was paid, that he went to the Baal Batim in Manhattan on the Upper West Side to pay for his Torah Shleima. Who else was going to pay for this thing? And then they said, we can't understand the Torah Shleima. What are you doing for us? He said, okay, I'll build you an Eruv. They said, build us an Eruv. So, okay, in order to pay for the Torah Shleima, he had to build, I can't verify that either. But whatever it is, he's a lot of literature about the Manhattan Eruv. He was critical in getting it off the ground. So in his he has Tshuvas called Divrei Menachem, and then in the back of the Torah Shleima he has different essays about different things. So on this pasuk Sheishes Yamim Tavod, he quotes the Mordechai, the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that earning a parnasa is a dvar mitzvah. So yes, but then every guy who's earning a parnasa is potter from davi mincha, from giving staka, because of isik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Earning a parnasa is a mitzvah. So Rav Kasher has what I think is a fantastic teretz. He says, no, that's not what Rabbeinu Tam meant. Rabbeinu Tam meant that it's a pasuk mefurish in the Torah that everybody, or at least that's, you know, it's the standard, is that a person has to work for a living. There's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and those who follow his model, right, to the Harbe who did like him, v'lo also be other and weren't successful. But there were those who followed the Shimon Bar Yochai model, right, in the cave and the carob tree and the whole story. And Parnassa falling from the sky. But that's not the expectation. The expectation is, Sheish Yamim Tavod, right, V'asafta D'Gonecha. That's the, you know, that's the standard. And Chazal never have a right to be Geizer and Yisid Rabbanon in violation of a Pasuk Mefurish in the Torah. Torah says, most people are going to have to work for a living. So if that's the case, Chazal don't have a right to be Oiker, a Pasuk Mefurish in the Torah, with an Yisid Rabbanon of taking a Bolch of 3 days prior to Shabbos. Mashal Ma'ad of time, right? Is we have an Issa Midr Rabbanon not to play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yantaf. We all know. You've heard my spiel. I think we talked about it once this year. I'm not into the people banging on the tables and all that either. That's like a musical instrument. You want to clap, even. I'm okay with that. You want to sing, okay. You know, but to bang on tables and all that, that's like an instrument. So instrumental music is prohibited on Shabbos and Yantaf. We all know. Gzeira Shemi Sakin Kleshir. Maybe it'll break and you'll come to fix it. So if that's the case, had it asked the Taz in Archayim, the Taz has this kasha also in Yoredei in a different context. I think he also has it in Chayshim Mishpat in a different context. The Taz has this kasha in a number of the Chalokim of Shulchan Aruch. Same kasha. And that is, if Chazal made such a gzeira, Semi Shachar Kashir, now to play any musical instrument, how is it that we blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah? How can we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Shofar is a musical instrument. You can't blow shofar on Shavuos. You can't blow shofar on Pesach or Sukkot. Gzeira Shami Yisach and Kleshir. It's no different than any other trumpet. Just because it's a ram's horn doesn't mean that it's permitted. So how is it permitted? Rosh Hashanah should be included in the Gzeira Shami Yisach and Kleshir. So the Taz answers with this fundamental. You said, Chazal can never be goyzer to oiker, to uproot, a pasuk mafurish in the Torah. The Torah says it. Chazal can't legislate it out. The Dinim D'Rabbanan have to fit into the pattern, to the bigger picture of Dinim D'Raisa. So they can't legislate out a Pasuk Mefurash in the Torah. That's like Lahavdil Elif Alfei Abdullah. You know, that's like a precedent. You know, a lower court can't overrule established stare decisis, or whatever it's called. They can't overrule established precedent. So this is what states in the Torah. The lower rulings have to fit in with the Pesukim in the Torah. And if they're going to over-legislate it out, then, you know, they can't legislate out an amendment of the Constitution or the Constitution itself. Oh. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam meant. Rabbeinu Tam meant you can't answer a person taking a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos, not because it's a mitzvah like Atzolos Nefoshes, not because it's a mitzvah like Tzedakah or Davening Mincha, but it's a pasuk mefurish in the Torah. Chazal can't prohibit you from going on a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos to earn a parnasa, because earning a parnasa is part and parcel of daily living, and Chazal can't, and as the Torah itself states, Sheish Yisrael Mitavah, Sisim Wal Kom Lachtecha, that's the norm for most people, and the Chazal don't have a right to legislate that out. Okay, that's the Dvar Mitzvah. Other, you know, Dvar Mitzvahs. What about if you're traveling to Israel? Used to be in the olden days. My Shverwin, he used to have to go to the UK. His mother was from the UK. The first time they went in the 50s was on a boat. You couldn't get here. You couldn't get there by plane. Right? Rabbi Chalap used to tell the story how he went to visit his grandfather. Rabbi Chalap's grandfather was Yaakov Moshe Chalap. His father was a Rav in the Bronx. All the Jews used to live in the Bronx. Rabbi Shechter's father was a Rav in the Bronx. Or Mel Shechter, you know, remember him. He was a Rav in the Bronx. And Rabbi Grelick was in the Bronx. And Rabbi Chalap's father was a Rav in the Bronx, a very successful rabbi in Pelham Parkway. Then, obviously, the Bronx got, you know, the Jews moved out of the Bronx. But his grandfather was Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap. Yaakov Moshe Chalap was a close Talmud of Rav Kook, was part of that school, but also close with the Brisker Rav. So Rabbi Chalap likes to tell students, he went to visit his grandfather, you know, once in the, maybe must be the late 40s or early 50s. Before the Brisker Rav passed away, I think the Brisker Rav passed away sometime in the 50s, so either in the late 40s or whatever it was, went to visit his grandfather in Yerushalayim. So he has a bunch of stories from that time that he visited his grandfather in Yerushalayim. So he, and the Brisker Rav and all that. So he, why am I telling you this? Yeah, so they used to have to take a boat trip. I remember him telling the story. He said he had to take a boat to Eretz Yisrael. There was no flying. Took a while, took 2 weeks. So can you take a boat trip to Eretz Yisrael knowing you're going to have to leave on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Is that called the Dvar Mitzvah or not? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch discusses in Hilchos Shabbos. Simon Reish Mem Chesiv Daud Ha'olu Leret Yisrael. In this Dam Lelo Shayara, a few Erev Shabbos, there's a boat that's leaving on Erev Shabbos. Came in the Dvar Mitzvah Hu Yachol Lefresh. Since it's the Dvar Mitzvah, you can go. Says the Magen Avraham there in Hilchos Shabbos. Davgal Das Lehis Yashiv. Only if you're moving there. Not if you're coming home. Not if it's a trip. Why? Because a trip isn't a mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz. There's no mitzvah. We give shliach mitzvah guilt. You know, people going to Eretz Yisrael. So, because shluchei mitzvah ain't a nizoikin. We hope nothing will happen to them. Even though air travel is more safe than car travel, and I don't know anyone who gave shliach mitzvah guilt for a guy who's going to bar park, but I think, right, that's true. Air travel is safer, so. I haven't heard about people doing that in a long time, the Shaykh Mitzvah Gelt. It used to be every time a guy was going there, you give him a few dollars to give for the, you know, at the Kaisel for you for Tztaka. So why do you need that though? The guy's going to Eretz Yisrael. What bigger mitzvah could be than going to Eretz Yisrael? The answer is no, but he's not going to move there. He's coming home. Says the Magen Avraham, that's not a mitzvah. Yishuv Aretz, V'dafka, Daslis Yashay, V'yesha, Imim Afil, V'das Ahasim. Then he quotes another opinion. Even if you're visiting, it's a mitzvah. Kevin Afil Mahalik, Da'ad Amis, Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah. To walk down Amos in Eretz Yisrael, right, is a ben olam haba. Mufta kloshu ben olam haba, the Gemara Ksubas over here, kuf yud alef amud aleph. So you get some mitzvah. Is there a mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz by just visiting? Sounds like it's two opinions of the Magen Avraham. So that little sefer Piskei Tshuva that we mentioned yesterday, look over here, Oiz Dawud, he has a suffix about this. How long do you have to be there to fulfill the mitzvah? V'ani mistape, kama yidur b'Eretz Yisrael, v'ikai mitzvah Yishuv b'Eretz Yisrael. How long do you have to be there for? Today, it's a huge nafkamina, and it's Rabu Ha'olam B'tur Tayarim. There was no such thing as tourists in the olden days. There was traveling merchants, but you didn't go touring, because it took so long to get to wherever you were going that, you know, you can't miss a year of your life, right, going to Rome, right, or going to Paris, or going to the Far East. No one went to Melbourne and then came home. It just wasn't done. But nowadays, with travel is much, you know, quicker and easier. So we have this whole phenomenon. Well, now if you visit Eretz Yisrael for an hour, are you in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or not? But the pasuk b'Parshas Chanan, you should settle the land. To be a yishuv, a yoshev ha'ir, as we said, that's 30 days. So maybe v'shaftim ba means 30 days. Ulam, after having the siv Yerusha, says an inheritance, b'chal Yerusha, filum darshom yud beis chodesh. Maybe you have to be there 12 months. Eino kein eino imdar shom yud beis chodesh. Eino kein the daito eino ushtakei shom eino derech Yerusha. Maybe even if you're there 12 months, it's not enough because it's not inheritance. You got to move there. You got to be kona karka. Even if you're there 12 months, it's not good enough. So maybe it's 12 months. Maybe it's best to move there. Maybe 30 days. So obviously, if you move there, you fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz. Anything less than that is already a suffolk. Maybe it's 12 months. At that point, you're a citizen, right? Maybe it's 30 days. Maybe it's 30 days. Maybe it's 30 days. Maybe it's a week. Is there any Indian to stay for a week? Should Yidavka stay for a week? So if you could, Rav Shechle, I think, used to advise people. He's a beautiful article in this journal that used to be called the RJJ Journal. It's available, I think, now in Wadi Torah, part of it. The Journal of Contemporary Halacha and Society. So Rav Shechle wrote an article there about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I think there he recommends if a person is going for the year, not to come home for Pesach, stay 12 months straight, you fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz. Okay, I don't think anyone stays to the summer anyway, so whatever, I don't know. I don't know how that would fly with your parents, but at least 30 days. You're there for 30 days, according to some, maybe you fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv. He fulfilled the Yishuv Aretz. There you go, he quotes, I believe, from Rav Zhulti. Rav Zhulti was a huge Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, and the same time as Tzvi Pesach Frank. So Rav Zhulti claims that perhaps this issue of how long does it take to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz depends on Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Says the Rambam over here, with regards to halach we discussed the other day, Ois Gimel. There's a halach, you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. That's the Pasuk also in Parshat Vayeschanan. Lo sechanem. You shouldn't. You're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, which is the huge issue during the Shnas HaShemitah. Can you sell land, farms to the Arabs in order that they should work the fields and the Jewish farmer shouldn't lose all of his parnasa? That's one of the major hurdles, as we discussed the other day. So what if I rent my property to a non-Jew, or I let him live there for a temporary period of time, a week, 30 days? Have I violated Lo Yisachanim? Or is it only if I sell it to him in perpetuity? So says the Rambam, when we are in charge, the debate today whether we are in charge, but when we are in charge, do we have the right to limit? We should limit our dekachavim from living in our communities. Vafilu yoishev yeshiva sarai, even to just live there temporarily. Oiver mimakum lamakum b'schayra, or traveling merchant lo yaver baratzenu, should not pass through. Ela ad sheyakabe olav shev mitzvah b'nei noach shenem lo yeshu baratzka afilu fisha, even temporarily. Even temporarily. So you see, a temporary resident is called a resident. Zok deravid zois lo matzanu v'lo shamanu meyolam. We never heard of this. The Rambam made this up. That's only talking about those seven nations that happened in Eretz Yisrael, the time of Yeshua ben Nun, that had to be wiped out. There's a pasuk of a hacharim tacharime. It says yeshiva is permanent. Here, the Rambam is talking about havara, passing through. So the Rav disagrees. He says a temporary resident is not a permanent resident. So Zhalti claimed that whether or not you fulfill the mitzvah of yeshivara is by simply passing through the land, on a temporary basis, as a traveler, should be a mitzvah of Yishuvaris, depends on this machlekes between the Rambam and the Ravid. Anyway, interesting debate, which probably stems from our Gemara over here. How long does it take to establish residency? Is it 12 months? Is it 30 days? Maybe is it some other period of time? Or maybe it's immediately. So certainly in Eretz Yisrael, it's always a big inyan to be there, even just to visit. Whoever walks there 4 hours is I don't think that's why you really need Shliach Mitzvah Gel to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's probably a mitzvah anyway, but if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Ara, it's best to move there. If not, maybe you fulfill it with some other shorter trip, but the longer you could extend the trip, obviously the better. There is one assumption here, Rabbi Isai, which has to be fleshed out, has to be discussed. It is so critical today in so many different contexts. And it's a comment in the Marami Rutenberg. What did we say? We said if a person is a citizen of the city, he has to pay taxes for communal services that we all benefit from. Let me ask you the following thing. It's a Yiddish cup. You have to have a Jewish mind to think this way. So let's say, people have this mentality when it comes to voting. Right? My vote doesn't matter. And it doesn't. That's the truth. The problem is, right, if everyone says, especially if you live in New York and New Jersey, it's over before, right? That's what we never see a politician, hide nor hair of any presidential politician in these states, because unless they're coming for a fundraiser, why would they ever campaign here? It's locked up already. They all go to you. We have nothing over here. We get the short end of the stick. So our vote really means nothing. Right? And local elections, it means something. That's why I've heard a Democratic strategist who used to dominate my shul, who was a part of the Clinton administration. So he said, all Jews, even if you feel you are politically align more with the Republican Party, you should register as Democrats, because the Republican's not going to win anyway. I guess it's for a mayoral race or gubernatorial race, maybe, but certainly for presidential election, he's not going to win anyway. So you might as well at least have a say in the Democratic primary, where your vote matters, as opposed to wasting your vote on the Republican side, which is really a waste. So that's interesting philosophy, and I think we sometimes, politically, we I don't know if we did ourselves any favors by aligning ourselves so far with the hard right, especially when the administration now is Democratic. We don't have as much clout anymore. So something to think about, a little bit more political strategy. But the truth of the matter is, even in a big election, even if you're in the party that is running in a party, your vote means nothing. Your vote means nothing, right? No election has ever been won by one vote. What's the problem? Why is that such a dangerous thing to say? You're almost not allowed to say it. Sacrilegious. Because if everybody says that, no one's going to vote. Right? So to us, it's obvious. What about the following argument? I live in a town. I have to pay for garbage collection. Right? I have to pay for walls, security, police, fire. If I wouldn't pay my taxes, would the police department shut down? Would the fire department shut down? Would the wall not be fortified? No, of course. These services are going to be paid for either way. So why do I have to pay? Well, the problem is, right, if you say that, then everyone's going to say that. But the problem is there's another halacha, Rabbi said, called Kaifin al Midas Stoim. Kaifin al Midas Stoim. What does Kaifin al Midas Stoim mean? Have a look over here. turning your Gemara to Yud Beis Amud Beis. The bottom of the Yomud, the Gemara tells a story. Hahuda Zavin Ara Ametzer de Bein Asher. There's a guy who bought a property adjacent to a property that was his father's property. What happened? Father passed away. Two brothers are going to split now the father's properties. One of the brothers has a property that's adjacent to one of the father's properties. So, Lamoshel, the father owns, you know, a property in New York. He owns a property in California. One of the brothers happens to own the adjacent property to the father's property in New York. He was a good son, wanted to live near the father, whatever. The father dies. Let's assume the properties in California and the properties in New York are equally, L.A., New York, equally valuable, right? So the one who has the property in New York says to his brother, give me the property, as they're splitting the properties, give me the property in New York. You take the property in L.A. because either way, you don't have a property in New York and I do. It would help me out to have a larger, single property. So who's the Zavin Ara Metzor the Bein Asher? Kikapalgu Amalei Pligu Li Amatzroi. Give me the part that's adjacent to my property. Amar Rabba Kigoyin Zeh Koyfer Amidas Doim. Here, you can compel people not to follow the practices of the people of Sodom. What is the practice of the people of Sodom? Rabbi say, we all know the people of Sodom were condemned to death, right, in Parshas Vayera. They sound like really, really bad guys. What did they do wrong? Right. Torah doesn't say. Torah says they were evil people, but Torah never says what they did. Rashi fills in the name of Chazal, right? They didn't like Chesed. They were upset that Lot was welcoming guests into his house. So they seem to be opposed to doing Chesed. But the Torah doesn't tell us explicitly. That appears more in the Mishnah Novus. Says the Mishnah Masechtos Novus over here, Oizvav. Arba Midos Ba'adam. There are four kinds of people. Ha'omer Shali Shali, V'shalcha Shalcha. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Zumi de Beinoinis. That's your, you know, the most kind that we can expect from most people. You're not a tzaddik. Sometimes, in some settings, where that's really unique, you know, people just, you know, I mean, keep to myself. Sometimes that's appreciated. A lot of times, people spill over into other people's domain. But okay, whatever. Mida beinoinis, fair. Yeshayim zu midas toim. But there are some who say no. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. Is midas toim. That's midas toim. Shali shalcha b'shalcha shali amaretz. If you say what's yours is mine, what's mine is yours, you're an idiot. Shali shalcha b'shalcha shalcha. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours. Chassid. Meaning he doesn't want to take, he only wants to give. Shali, shali, v'shalcha shali. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, is a Russia. But let's go back to the shali, shali, v'shalcha, shalcha. Some say that's a midah beinonis. That's, you know, fair. And others say it's midah stoim. So the Rashbat and the Magen Avos notes, we never find the machloekis in all Masechtos Avos. There's machloekis throughout Shas. There's the Masechtos Edius, I don't think. There's one Masechta, but there's no machloekis. Edius, or whatever, one pair. But typically, there's machlekes everywhere, except in Avos also. There's no machlekes in Masechtos Avos. So what does it mean, there's a machlekes over here? Shali, shali, shalcha, shalcha, zumida, beinanis, v'yeshayim, zumida, astoim. So explains the Rashbat that what it means is, on a temporary basis, in regards to certain things, if I say what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, that's okay. If you do it all the time, meaning you hate and despise chesed philosophically, of ever giving something of yourself to somebody else, then you're a bad guy at some point. I mean, if you give no charity, if in general I say, look, this is mine, I don't want to take from you, you don't take from me, let me, you know, I'll have my shopping cart, you have your shopping cart, stop asking me to, you know, schnurr and whatever, I'm not asking from you, you have your snack bag at lunch, and I have my snack bag at lunch, you always hate that kid, right? Oh, you have two extra, can I have one? You know, whatever you open, the kid is always asking you for some snack. You're not a sharer of snacks, especially in the age of COVID, whatever, you know, okay, you eat your food, I'll eat the food on my plate, stop putting your fork into my plate, you know, okay, in certain settings, it's all right, it's okay, shali, shali, shalcha, shalcha, right? But if you never give anything to anybody, that's me this time. You hate it, you know, philosophically, or if it starts out, shali, shali, shalcha, shalcha, that's fine, but if it leads to that philosophy in all areas, that's what me this time is about. So me this time is I refuse to do chesed, under any circumstances, even when it costs me nothing, I refuse to do chesed. That's called midas toim. In a certain sense, you know, in those kinds of settings, when it costs you nothing to do chesed, will even be kaifet, will compel you, halakhically, not to follow the practice of the people of Sodom. Now, it happens to be following the practice of people of Sodom, not to do chesed, even when it does cost you something. Even, you know, a person who gives no charity, even in the world at large, is a bad guy, right? If you're a billionaire and you give no charity, you're a bad guy. That's embarrassing. because you're like, what's wrong with you? Because obviously you can afford it, and you know, how do you not give charity? So there's something we all understand, that part of being a good human being is giving charity, even when it costs you something. But when it costs you nothing and you still refuse to do someone else a taiva, then we'll compel you to do it. So over here, the two brothers are splitting properties. This guy's got a property. The father has two properties. One in LA, one in New York. The other guy says, look, I'm in New York already. Well, let's say the other brother's in Texas somewhere, right? So he's going to have to move because he's renting in Texas, either to LA or to New York. What does he care? His business is, I don't know, online, Amazon, third parties, so on. So he could live in LA. He could live in New York. The taxes in both of them are out of control. So let's live in LA. What do you care? He says, no, I have to be in New York. What's wrong with you? Go to L.A. Let your brother have the properties adjacent to his. So Gemara says, no, that's not Kofin Almidah's story. Maska Rav Yosef, Amila Achai, Malina Le'yuei, Kinesa Debar, Bebar Marion. Maybe I like this property better, or maybe this property is more valuable. Whatever it is. Then the Gemara says, but if the two properties are identical in value, identical in setting, identical in risk factors, identical in every single way, the Gemara concedes. At some point, we're kaifin almidas tam. We compel one of the brothers to let the other brother have the property that's adjacent to his. Kaifin almidas tam. If it costs you nothing, so then you have to do me this chesed. Tosfos brings this up in Masechtas Bava Kamma about a person with an empty apartment. I have an empty apartment, and I'm not looking to rent it. You come to town, you're looking to rent something. You can't find anything to rent. I have an empty apartment, but I'm just not looking to rent it right now. So you squat in my apartment. You squeeze your way in. And you squat there. Do you have to pay me rent? I wasn't looking to rent it. You were looking to rent. And, you know, so I'm not losing anything by you being there because I wasn't, like, denied another tenant because I wasn't looking to rent it in the first place. So I have an empty apartment that I want to keep empty. You are looking for an apartment that you would be happy to rent, but you can't find one. So you dwell in my apartment. It's called Hadar B'chatzer Chaveroi. But it's a Zen and a Zelo Chaser. This one benefits. This one doesn't lose out on anything because you weren't planning on... If I was looking for a tenant and then every time Zillow or Rent Street EZ brings a tenant to my apartment, they see some guy squatting there who looks weird. So that's going to scare away other tenants. That's Zelo Chaser. I lost that. But I wasn't looking to rent it. I'm keeping it vacant for whatever reason. I don't know, whatever reason I'm keeping it vacant. Landlords now keeping lots of apartments vacant for a lot of different reasons. So, keeping it vacant, I squat there. I was looking for an apartment to rent, but I can't find one. I squat in your apartment. Do I have to pay you rent? Do I have to pay you rent? I didn't cost you anything. So Tosfos says, that's an Ibaya. That's a suffix the Gemara has in Bava Kamma. Zenenev, Zelo Chaser, are you Chayev? Are you Pater? Whole big story. I think you're Pater in the end. That's a deal in the Gemara. Tosfos asks, what about Kaifan Almidas Tam? You have an empty apartment. What, it costs you nothing. What do you care? Let me live there. Well, you're such a bad guy. You hate people so much. Let me live there. Kaifan Almidas Tam. You have a property in LA, property in New York. I'm already in New York. You're coming back from wherever you were in Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. You can pick LA or New York, whatever it is. And for your purposes, they're equal. Why are you taking what's mine or what could have been mine and making my life much more difficult for no reason? Kaifan Almidas Tam. So over here, Tosfos says, why don't we say Kaifan Almidas Tam when it comes to this guy who's got an empty apartment? So Tosfos has an important rule. Tosfos says, Kaifan Almidas Tam of here is Zayim, Vavinale Echametzra. Why don't we apply the same standard of Kaifan Almidas Tam? So Tosfos says, Shiny Hakosha Yachal Amina Mitriu Miladu Bebeso. You can't seize someone else's property based on Kaifan Almidas Tam. You can't commandeer my home based on Kaifan Almidas Tam. Because you're violating my property rights. You can't violate my property rights. Let's say I have an empty garage. You can't all of a sudden say, well, you're not using it now. Hey, let me put my stuff there. Oh, you don't let me? Bad guy. The communal board is going to force you. Come on. You can't steal my property. It's a violation of my property rights to do that. I think that's what the Namuka Yosef says as well. Over here, Oiskas. Alpha Gav, the Kamal Ba'amah, the Zen Nenav Zed. Even though in general, when you lose nothing, someone else could benefit, we force you. That's only when they're splitting a property that they both inherited. I'm not taking something that's yours. We're splitting properties that one is going to come to me, one is going to come to you. I can force you to give the one that's been helpful to me. It's not detrimental to you. To take something that doesn't belong to you based on, you're not using your car today. you're out of town, I'm going to steal your car. Come on, that's not kaifin on me this time. It's ridiculous. We're all going to be in each other's business. Oh, you have an empty bedroom for Shabbos, I'm stripping some people there. Oh, you have an empty car, I'm stripping. It's ridiculous. Then all property rights go out the window. It can't work that way. That's in Mukai Yosef, that's Taisis. The Mordechai says something else. Says the Mordechai, V'yesh mefarshim, de'ein kaifin, meaning the landlord, the reason why you can't compel someone to take their apartment because of kaifin on midas tam, even though they're planning on not renting it out right now, is because maybe they'll change their mind. Meaning I have an empty garage. The problem is if you put your car in my garage, I can't change my mind to use it because your car is stuck there and I have to chase you out and evict you. If I have an apartment that I want to keep empty and I let you live there, how am I ever going to get rid of you? And I might change my mind that tomorrow I want to rent it. So by you being there, you're preventing me from changing my mind. Yeah. What if it's something, though, that you can't rent? You legally can't rent it. You physically can't rent it. Then the Mordechai might agree. You can seize other people's property based on kaifin al midas taim. If you can't change your mind. But if you could, then I have the right to change my mind. I have the right to change my mind. We're not going to have a chance to finish it today, but I say, think about this in terms of carpools. I have an empty seat in my car. Can you commandeer that empty seat based on kaifin al midas taim? We have four people in a carpool. There's five seats in the car. Someone moves to the block. They say, oh, you guys have such a nice carpool. Can you take my Yankalo too? They say, well, only if you drive. She said, well, why do I need to drive? You guys have a carpool already. You're going so nicely. Shalom al Yisrael. Just put Yankalo in. You have an empty seat. Kaifin al midas taim. What's wrong with you guys? You have an empty seat anyway. We had that. I had that myself. Not with my kids. Traveling to yeshiva. We had a carpool and someone moved in. It was a ganze geschäft. It was terrible. And I was just, terrible. Anyway, you can have such a thing. Think about it in that context. Let's say you're going somewhere and they charge you for tolls. Can I charge you for tolls? I was going anyway. Kaifin al midas taim. So we have to think about all these different things. Comes up all the time. And then what about back to, you know, our sugya about paying taxes? We'll have to think, see how that all connects. All right. Let's say something on the parasha.